Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And we're going to be joined shortly. And I see one right now. Don Wildman is with us. Hi, Don.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
Well, I'm a lot better since I didn't have to hear that screeching noise.
I know. That was just obnoxious.
Well, thank God they fixed it, and it didn't take them long to fix it. So, but, yeah, that hurt the ear, so I just apologize to our audience. Yeah, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty in that we had a horrible screeching noise. Come on with us. So, but now we're good to go, and hopefully Miss Christina was on too. She'll be calling in. But Don, if you don't mind, would you start us off in prayer? It seems like the enemy does not want us on.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to ask for your hedge of protection around us. We see that the devil is definitely working overtime in every aspect, in our communications with each other, in our ability to communicate with all of the listeners, and in our ability to spread the truth. But we always prevail because we know that all things are possible in you. We'd like to continue to praise you, Almighty Father, for giving us the strength and the wisdom, the courage, and the faith to continue on, even with all the obstacles that stand in our way. And we would love to continue to do things in your light, down your path. So please continue to give us all wisdom and grace and the ability to continue this really important work. And thank you so much, God, for taking care of our families, our friends, all the things in our worlds that make it a little bit easier for us to do what we do every day. We ask for all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Don Wildman. And there's Miss Christina. Hi, Miss Christina.
Hi, honey. Boy, the devil's working overtime, isn't he?
Oh, he has. And today, boy, it's been a rough day for me already. And then to hear that, oh, my goodness. I guess that was my nerves that y'all heard. It stretched. I titled today, because I know we needed it, How to Find Refuge in a Stressful World. You know, it's almost like it's an Obamacare, Obamacore world. It's an Obama world, and it's really a horrible, you know, it's not a very pleasant place to live in right now, Don. And you're seeing that, Don and Ms. Christina, there. You know, I look at California, and I know the jobless rate is very high everywhere, but, you know, when you've got companies just leaving California in droves, I cannot imagine the stress that is, you know, before your state, before the people there.
You know, there was an email going around. Don, do you get emails from CFACT?
I don't know.
Anyway, they sent out an email. It's all about energy and all that kind of stuff, you know. But anyway, they sent out an email yesterday to all Californians to get out now, while you can still afford the gas to get out. You'll be in good company because the roads will be full of everyone evacuating California. You're not going to be able to afford to live here. The energy prices are going to go through the roof. They want nothing but wind and solar and electric cars. So the whole thing, and this whole article, it was just like, oh, my God, by the time you read it, it was like, oh, and this is an organization that's fighting really hard out here, like against, you know, all the green, the cap and trade, the greenies of this, the destruction, you know. But they're telling everybody to leave while you can.
It's
incredible, though, where we're at, you know, because we don't know what California is going to become. I mean, we have no idea.
And it's incredible, too, with all the EPA regulations and all the coal mines that's going to be closed. Don, when, you know, we talk about, you know, really America is so rich in natural resources, and you've talked about the Dakotas, you know, I mean, why are we being put through this stress when the answer is right here at home?
Because the environmentalists won't let us have it.
Yeah, this isn't, you know, the thing is, none of this stuff is rocket science. I mean, this is, let me give you an example of what just drives me completely crazy. So, I love history. I was a history major in college. I love history. I think it's one of the best things that gives us, you know, a thoroughly great foundation. You know, if you know what has happened historically in the world, previous to this history that we are now making, you know, hopefully you don't make the same mistake twice. By the way, man has yet to learn that lesson, but there you are. So there's a new program on TV. I try to keep really a close eye on the culture of the country because that affects us greatly, and it affects people in a way that they don't realize they're getting information where they are. So there was this new program on TV, and it's in a time slot that's geared for, you know, a very young demographic. And it's supposed to be about some of the monarchs in English history back like 13th, 14th century. So here they have all these beautiful costumes, you know, beautiful actors playing the parts, which made me laugh to begin with because most of the real people were usually pretty ugly. But they start using the vernacular of today. And it totally turned me off because I said, there's no way anybody would have said that then. That wasn't a word they used then. So that just, I clicked, turned off the channel. But I said to my mother-in-law, who's British, I said, what really makes me angry is that I don't expect for Americans to know European history because we don't even know our own history. And there is so much that we already know about the plan. You know, this great plan by the elite few on the planet that want to have complete control over everything we think, do, say, drive, live, job, everything. And it's not even like they're not transparent about it. They are. The audacity of these elite few is you know, seen everywhere. And we can keep telling people about it, evidently, and people will keep shrugging and saying, okay, it doesn't affect me. We're seeing this in Obamacare right now. People like Christina and I, and I'm sure even you, Diana, for years have been talking about Obamacare, what it's going to look like. Before it was passed, we begged people, please, we've read the bill. Please, listen, this is going to be really bad. Here's what's going to happen. No, 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 shrug their shoulders, not a big deal, doesn't affect me. It gets passed, it gets signed into law. No, 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 still doesn't affect me. Great, because it's not happening yet. Guess what? It's happening now. Oh, it suddenly affects you. All of a sudden, we don't look like crazy tinfoil, black helicopter-wearing people, because what we said was true. And this is what gets me. I am having a really hard time holding on to any empathy for people who only just now get it, because we, as citizens, had no reason to lie to you. Most of us are not connected to a political party. We are just citizen, neighbor and neighbor, trying to save our neighbors. If you will not let us save you, guess what? We're still fighting for you, even when you won't fight for yourself. But at some point, you know, the culling has begun, people. So it's either time to wake up or get mowed down.
Well, you said it well, Dawn, and I think, to me, you know, the thing with us is, you know, it breaks our heart. I wish it wasn't true. I wish all those warnings that I've heard you and Ms. Christina say, and I have said, too, from listening to the Galen Institute, you know, what an awesome resource they are, were not true, but they are, and people are panicking. You know, I've heard people say, you know, for the first time ever, I mean, men are breaking down because they can no longer afford to provide for their family. I mean, you're having to choose between insurance and, you know, no telling what, electricity, all sorts of other things. And it's really very heartbreaking.
Well, we're going to end up, I told my husband the other night, I said, you know, the greatest thing is we will end up with insurance that none of us can afford to use.
Right.
The deductibles, if you were a responsible person, and let me make this super, super abundantly clear to people, you don't have a right to health care. That's not a right. That's a responsibility. It's not a privilege. Those of us that have had health care along, we're not privileged to have it. We pay a lot of our hard-earned money so that we can actually see physicians. It's not free. We're paying for it. Our employers are paying for it. And by the way, you all could have had health care insurance before. You just chose not to. And now that we're very limited on what you can get, and you're getting services, excuse me, by the way, that you don't need, want, or desire, let's see how much you can afford. Our deductible doubled, so we're paying more every year just to have insurance, and our deductible, we're going to be paying more so that we can see the doctor, and we're paying more in every service. So we're going to have this great health care plan that we can't even use. Way to go.
And Ms. Christina, well, and there's a lot of blame going on in there.
Let's clarify something, too, here. You know, we keep talking about this as health care. And when reality, if you listen to this president, he says health insurance, health insurance, health insurance. This is about insurance. He never had any intention to overhaul the health care system. It was the insurance system, which, of course, then would control health care. But people don't understand. This is in the process of this insurance. Everybody wanted insurance. And, you know, statistically now, I was reading this morning, more people will be uninsured in 2014 than were uninsured in 2009 due to Obamacare. And not only are you going to be uninsured, and let me here say this, and everybody listen well, is you're not going to have a job. That's what Obamacare is going to produce. It's not Obamacare, it's Obama insurance. And Obama insurance is going to break everybody's back, jobs and everything else. So if you're losing your job, as Dawn said, it's hard for us to have empathy. We still feel terrible But it's hard to have empathy when we've spent the last 5 years pounding this point home. I remember when I sent a portion of the bill to my congresswoman, and we spent time with her chief of staff discussing it. He kept saying, that's not true, that's not true. I said, when I get back to the office, I'll send you the actual bill. We sent him a copy of the actual bill, the section of the actual bill that backed up what we were saying. He sends me back an email, and this sums up the Republican Party to a T. This isn't true. I looked at factcheck.com, and they said this isn't true.
That is not funny, Dawn.
It is true.
Oh, a sad thing.
It's sick because he had the audacity. This is the chief of staff to a congresswoman who sends me back factcheck.com. I send him the actual bill, and he sends me factcheck.com and says it's not true. This is what we've got representing us in Washington, D.C.
Well, here are some of the things, because even though we all knew this was coming, we all knew that it would get really bad. And by the way, folks, we're just seeing the tip of that iceberg. It is get so much worse. But here, I'll tell you what, the actual statistics of what we know so far is so startling that even I am, you know, shocked by it. When you realize that in Florida, the Florida Blue Insurance is actually terminating 80% of their individual market policyholders. So that's 3,000 people now without insurance. Kaiser, California, which, by the way, the administration held up as this is the example about how health care should be run. They've terminated half of their individual market people. Blue Shield in California terminated 119,000 individual market policies. The other two-thirds that are left will see huge rate increases. And in Pennsylvania, Blue Cross terminated 45% of its individual markets. Now, the administration is telling you that the insurance companies are bad, that they're just dumping you. And by the way, in all the things that they were creating in the law, in all the waivers that were given, they never addressed the insurance companies. And it's not their fault. The reason they're dumping people is they now have to give these 10 areas that they have to provide for people as mandated by the U.S. government in the Obamacare standards. And in the policies that people currently had, they couldn't do it. So now you have all these people. And here's the worst part of all. They're not talking to you about how many more people are actually getting on Medicaid or Medicare rather than even signing up for insurance. And by the way, that's free, quote-unquote, to them, but through the people who are still working and paying payroll taxes and state and federal taxes, that's how those programs work. And they were broken before this law. So what do you think is going to happen with that? It is so discouraging that the biggest mantra that keeps going on is, by the way, about a really, really stupid website. You know, if Amazon can manage to get their organization to do what they do worldwide in a heartbeat, you would think this would be a cakewalk. And, by the way, folks, you're all paying for it. So for having to repay now people to fix a site that doesn't work, which, by the way, they don't really care about, They've been giving us false numbers. And I don't care about the numbers now. What I care about are the numbers on January 1st, because that's when you will have to pay for all this new insurance. And then we will see how many people are actually enrolled. And nobody gets insurance until they pay for it. I'm not sure anybody's talking about that. By the way, you can sign up all you want, but until you actually pay somebody, you still don't have health care. So it's just astonishing to me. I know this isn't what the show is about today, but frankly...
we have to name the stressors first, so...
And I'm with you guys. And I am totally with you. In my own life, I'm trying to figure out a way to sort of not have all this stuff weighing on me every day. And me knowing as I hear from my friends who are losing their insurance and people who, you know, just kept being told that they were going to be taken care of, and now they know they won't be. The most vulnerable still will not be. And the country I love, the country my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my husband, my nephew have fought for, I love my country. But I, too, have to think about how do I get sort of beyond this and not be so stressed and take this into my everyday life. And I got to tell you, the absolute truth is the only way I can is that I know I'm a child of Christ. I'm a child
That's
right. of God. I'm part of his army. And that my relationship with the Heavenly Father is intact, growing, maturing. And that's the only thing that I rely on and my family relies on. We give it all to prayer.
Well, you know, by their fruits you shall know them, as the Bible says. And I had heard yesterday that the one that was given the contract for this Obamacare rollout, unfortunately, it's a crony, you know. And there was really not even the bid system that should have went on. And this is nothing new under the sun, right? It's this mindset. It's not really about we the people that matters, but who my friends are. And so we're all paying for it, Ms. Christina. And you know, the sad thing is, yeah, there's people that probably deserve it because they voted for him and with knowing that, you know, they should have been looking further into this because there was so many information out there. But then there's the other side, you know, people that try their very best, but they're caught up, unfortunately, in what other people voted for. So it's heartbreaking for them.
I don't think if you voted for Obama either time that you deserve this. I mean, there isn't one bone in my body that thinks, really, that there's somebody out here that deserves this. I don't care how you... I don't even think Valerie Jarrett or the Obama family deserve this. I mean, this isn't even just them. I wish my biggest issue was with Barack Obama. It's not. These policies have been going on for a really long time. It's only the Tea Party, praise God, that has brought it to the forefront for the American citizen to see, because otherwise we would all still be doing our jobs, going about our lives, slowly but surely, losing our freedoms without really any, you know, sitting on the couch going, oh, I hate when that happens. And, you know, there would have been nothing left. I mean, I'm sure they were hoping by this time, these guys would have already mowed through the country. We'd be full-on socialist, and everything would be fine. And, you know, it is sad that in a country that was built on economic and religious freedom, the ability of choice, the ability to practice one's faith openly, expressively, and today we are sitting in a country that people are fearful as Christians to say the words under God, and they're stripping it off everything. You know, if we don't have God, none of this matters anyway. I mean, frankly, we are reaping what we sow. You know, we were becoming this godless nation, and, you know, you get what you get when that happens.
Well, Don, I agree with you. You know, it's like we were in a boiling frog pot, you know, the boiling frog story that we've heard, you know. You're not going to get out because you think, oh, it's just being turned up a little bit, a little bit. But I think, you know, what Obama did really is put in some electrical shock in there, Miss Christina.
Oh, yeah. Some electrical shock.
It's really not funny, but, you know, I'm hysterical, I guess, because you know, it's either laugh or cry, so I'm not going
to
cry.
You have to laugh about it, though. I mean, there are times that Christina can tell you in this battle over the last 5 years, especially at the beginning when we thought, are we losing our minds? We're reading this. We're reading the bill. Frankly, we're the only people reading the bill.
Yeah.
Look at factcheck.com, Don. We didn't look at factcheck.com. That's where we
went. Oh, that was our error.
If I knew there were cliff notes to that, I'd have been happier about it instead of reading through the 2,000 pages of gobbledygook.
Yeah.
And All we there are times we get on the phone and we get together and we do laugh because you have to find something amongst this absurdity that doesn't make you want to just blow your brains out. I mean, if we're not, exactly as you said, if we're not laughing about it, we're crying about it. And frankly, the big thing is I hope, here's my big hope for the nation, you know, I hope people understand that what we told them was the truth. I hope we're vindicated. And that, nobody has to do that publicly for me, but I hope people say, wow, you know what, those folks were right. That maybe the next time, if there is a next time, you know, they will stand with their neighbors. You know, that's one of the worst things, too, that's happened to the country beyond all of this stuff is the absolute division that is being created in this nation that didn't exist in the same form that it does today 5 years ago. It is shocking to me that, you know, all the strides that we have made in this country to become united. I mean, if nothing else, 9/11 brought this country back together and made it remember its roots and that we were all Americans and we were all in it together. And look, 12 short years later, we are all subdivided into so many different groups and told that we should be against each other. It's the difference between the haves and the have-nots. And the irony is that's exactly what the government's setting up. So I'm hoping
people... But Don, I think, though, that don't you think that Obamacare, I mean, now that it is out there, that is going to, I mean, I'm seeing something that's amazing. I saw something about a John Stewart video of him actually pointing out the problems with the Obamacare rollout and pointing it in the right direction, you know, how this happened. And you know what they did to his video? They pulled it. And I'm thinking awful lot of Democrats feeling like he's feeling.
Right now, the big thing you keep hearing is, so what is the GOP going to do that has this backup plan for when this crashes? Well, here's the next shocking part, folks. Not a lot. Because they're not actually disturbed by this. You know, they knew what was going to happen. And they've been playing part and parcel with it. You know, all the stuff that we see go on, Michelle Malkin was so right on when, like, 5-6 years ago, she called it kabuki theater. You know, and we as the voting citizenry have accepted now, we've been conditioned now, that what we see happening, backroom deals, secretive stuff, that's okay. I actually talked to a lady Wednesday who had gone out to D.C. to talk to her congressperson, and she's telling me this story, and she leads with, well, the Republicans are working on a bill in secret, and she keeps telling me the story, and I actually interrupted her, and I said, I'm so sorry, but really, the first thing you said to me is they're working on a bill in secret. How does that not absolutely aggravate you? That's not the kind of government, the kind of republic that was set up. We are not the KGB. This is not, at least today, Russia or the Soviet Union. How is it that you say this to me and you're not, that isn't even the part of the story that you think is interesting? And it's just shocking. And all the people that are talking about how glorious these men are, well, I can tell you for the last 5 years who used to hold the place. Today it's Ted Cruz, Mike Lee. Before it was Paul Ryan, Eric Cantor, John Boehner, John McCain. Let's keep going back. Everybody wants to have this demagogue that they look after as the person that saves it. Here's the reality. Christina, Diana, we all know it's only us. The only thing we have is us.
That's exactly what Alice says and Miss Christina. With us in mind, I think I love what you said, Dawn, though, that that you saw some changes when you went to some of these meetings in your own, around your own state people. And I think I think we're going to see more and more of that, Ms. Christina, because really I think we've found out there's only one help. And like you're saying, it's not our legislators. It is really our going back to God. And maybe that's, you know, all this is going to work out for good, because if we can get that part of it right, wow, it would mean a whole lot.
Well, look at this way. So I'll tell you about the culture that I like to keep an eye on. Although most of the time I'm rolling my eyes going, I cannot believe the filth that is out there and considered entertainment, but whatever. That's a whole nother show. But Duck Dynasty, okay, this show, this little reality TV show, Duck Dynasty, about a family who builds duck, what are they called? Like callings. I forget what the actual term is, but it's for hunting and stuff. And, you know, they're obviously very well off. Although, by the way, these people live, they're not, you know, in a Aaron Spelling type mansion. They look very humbled people. But here's the big thing. They're Christians. And they say, hey, we go out to eat in public. We're going to pray. If you don't like it, too bad. And they've got this huge following. Well, God knows, the powers that be have tried to cancel the show before, but it's got this huge following. And I think the reason it has a huge following is because that's what America looks like. That's what families look like. That's what Christians look like. Hello, the Christians out there. I know you feel the heel on your throat of government, but if we don't stand up as Christians and Jews against the tyranny, we are going to be having these calls underground. We are going to be praying underground. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to allow that to happen. So the fact that there are some parts of culture where I'm hearing people talk about Kirk Cameron and the movies he's making. I mean, that's huge. It's not, you know, an enormous market, but frankly, it's more than we saw 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I know the title of this was Stress Promoted in an Obama World. Well, but really what we also want to put in is we know there's a lot of stressors out there. Obamacare is just one of them, right? We've been dealing with Obamacore, which is Common Core. And to me, I hate to say this because Obamacare is so bad, but to me, Obamacore is worse because it is dealing with helpless children. And that really gets to the soul. But I know that God is big. So, Ms. Christina, give us something to lift us up, because I know I am, you know, it is a stressful thing to think about these helpless children that really, you know, it is us, the adults, that have to move and make a difference. And but anyway, if you don't mind, give us some of your tips on how you deal with stress.
How I deal with stress?
Yes.
D-O-D.
The ones D-O-D. You can say on radio anyway.
Yes.
No, truly, if I didn't have the Lord in my life, I couldn't do what I'm doing. Because you can't be in this darkness every day. And believe me, I'm into a lot of dark research. And you can't do this unless you have the Lord. Because you have to know he is in charge. You know, read your scriptures. Spend time with the Lord. Understand that all of this has to be. And yes, God is warning us right now to wake up and return to him. And we're trying to bring a God consciousness back into this land, into the people, to wake up and realize that the only way God is going to move in this nation is if we repent and turn back to him. That's our goal and mission, is to try to wake up as many churches and people and stuff as we possibly can, because it's going to depend on the Christians standing up. And if they don't stand, you know, our last election cycle, I woke up this morning thinking it's November 1st, just 1 year ago. We were all hopeful and went to the polls. What happened? We got the same thing again. Where were the Christians? Most of them stayed home. Why is it that the Christians are abdicating their responsibility? So this is where we need to start, as far as I'm concerned. If we hope to do anything with this nation, we've got to wake up the body of believers to stand in the gap. And the children, yeah, that's our biggest thing, because if we lose these children, it won't matter what we do. Because the children will already have been indoctrinated into a communistic mindset. And so if we try to turn the ship around, that's the next generation coming up. We've already lost two generations. These kids think nothing of socialism. Give me my iPad, my iPod, and I'm good to go. And that's where they're at. They don't think any deeper than that. That's what we have to do. We've got to get to our children and save them before we completely lose them altogether. Because once you've lost them to government, you can't get them back for generations. So if anything we had to do, when I deal with stress, I turn to God. I read my word, just like the rest of us do. That's my only saving grace and my only salvation. The only way I can do this every day.
I also turn to, I was telling somebody, I told Christina this too recently. When all this really political, heavy, governmental stuff really starts weighing on me to the point that I feel like I have to duct tape my head together, I turn on, you know, a movie that I find really funny, you know, because I like parody movies. Or I, you know, turn on some of the old black and white movies I had where, you know, from the 30s and the 40s, when really showing a period of time in the country that was, even during the hardest times, like World War II, you know, the country was such a place of kindred spirits and neighbor helping neighbor and things like that. And it just reminds me how possible everything is. Knowing that in God all things are possible changes everything. I mean, it changes, I think it changes not just who you are, but it changes who you are in your family, changes what kind of friend you are, what kind of coworker you are. I mean, I don't think people really understand how important having that unconditional love with God changes us and everything about us. And there is a peace that I think we are able to really get to. You know, that I used to say all the time that, you know, well, there is no manual for life. And I was wrong. There is. It's called the Bible. You know, some of the things they fought then, the things that Jesus fought, guess what? Still having those battles today, 2013.
Well, you know, we can go back to that, Don. I mean, those of us that are standing, go back to the apostles. Go back to the Lord. The Lord came. The Lord tried to tell people. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was made fun of. But nonetheless, the way prevailed. You had the apostles, they went forward. As much as they tried to kill it, it never was able to be killed. God can't be killed. There will always be that remnant that will stand, and that's what we are. We are now the remnant. You know, you talked, Don, a little bit about in the 40s and stuff, after World War II and all of this. You know, we were a different nation.
Yeah.
In 1942, the State Department, the then State Department, and the CFR decided that they needed to set up a supranational organization at that time to replace the League of Nations. They signed a charter drafted by Alger Hiss. Who was Alger Hiss? A communist.
Yep.
That was in our government. And the CFR, it was called the U.S. Arms Control and Disarmament Agency and the United Nations Office for... We signed a charter with them in 45. It just... this goes back so far, this agenda with the United Nations, that we basically sold our sovereignty out when we signed that agreement, which, again, is against the law, but who's paying attention to the law? And you have the CFR, which is really a radical group of people. So our government was already corrupt. The people weren't. The people had a mentality that Dawn was talking about. God was prevalent. You know, things were different back then. Our government wasn't, but people were. And now we need to return to where we do have some semblance of, we care about the family. We care about life. We're coming into a place in our country where we don't even care about life. When we can kill babies, when we can vote to kill them based on their gender, which our Congress did, we're in a very bad place because life doesn't mean anything. Now we come into Obamacare and Ezekiel Emanuel. That's Rahm Emanuel's brother, a doctor, who has this complete life system. If you're under the age 14, over the age of 40, you're useless to society. And that's what
that
is.
Well, it's Christina. You know, Dawn, it's Christina. I'm looking at my Bible, and I'm looking at Joel chapter 3, the nations judged. And, you know, it's really sad, but you know, God is so good. It's like he's been waiting and he's been watching. And it's like we have done this to ourselves. You know, how much more can he allow us to continue? And that was foretold that we would get to this point. And we, you know, we see it before our eyes. And really when his hand comes down, you really can't even question as to do we deserve it? Because,
no, we do.
You know, you see it. You see it, but we do ask for mercy. We do ask for mercy, and that's what we're about. We ask that, you know, I think the de-stressor for me is like you both have said, which is the Word of God. There, you know, it changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And with that, I thank God that His Word does say that He has compassion on those who fear Him, right?
Diane,
and
if we have a second, I would love to read something that is a little bit uplifting.
Oh, go ahead. We need it. We need it.
This, you know, in spite of all of this that we've talked about and everything, you know, we're still the light in this darkness. And we have to remember where our light comes from, and it's God. And it's just, this to me, I thought was just so profound. And I'd just like to read it real quick. It comes out of 1 Corinthians 1:25 through 31, the essence of it. And it says, have you ever wondered what God's human history textbook might look like? Who would appear on its pages as the principal movers and shakers of world events? 1 Corinthians 1:27-28 provides a clue when it tells us that the Lord has chosen the weak and the foolish things of the world to shame the strong and the wise. This principle is woven throughout the fabric of biblical history. A prostitute named Rahab makes a right choice and becomes the ancestor of Messiah. A widow named Ruth chooses the God of Israel and becomes the great-grandmother of King David. An infertile wife named Hannah pours out her soul to God and becomes the mother of Samuel the prophet. A man called Abram responds to God, leaves his relatives behind, and becomes the father of all who believe. A woman named Mary pours expensive perfume on Jesus' head and gains for herself an eternal monument in the stream of history. Who are the truly influential people on this earth? Don't be deceived by outward appearances. The ones with impact are those who leave all to follow Jesus. The men and women who have proven themselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom they appear as lights in the world. You may not think that your light is very bright by this world's standards. But when the Lord calls you a luminary, you can agree with him and keep on shining. And then the Lord, this other one here, it says, the Lord is always looking for a few good men. The eyes of the Lord are likewise scanning the earth in order to find godly men and women who will step forward and use their influence to exalt righteousness in the land. This is what we see in Ezekiel. God says, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. A gap in this sense is some place where error or falsehood has crept in, allowing satanic confusion and inviting the judgment of God. Sometimes these gaps are so serious that they imperil entire nations and carry them to the brink of destruction. Israel was facing such a time following the Exodus. In all likelihood, not too many of us will ever be called upon to save a nation, but we can nonetheless build up the walls of protection around our families and churches by drawing wisdom from the whole counsel of God. We can resist the devil daily and refuse the sensuality and perversion of this present age. God has called his children into service and will equip them in righteousness. In Moses' day, one man made all the difference. Why not be the one who makes a difference today? That's what I'd like to leave with the people today.
Now, Ms. Christina, where was that at? Ezekiel what?
Ezekiel 13, 1 through 6.
Okay, but now that wasn't all. Was that part of your thoughts, or did you write it? Because it was beautiful. Everything flowed so encouragingly well.
Dr. Charles Stanley wrote this.
Oh, how wonderful. You need to have
that
part.
I love that man. So, I get all of his stuff. And anyway, this is in one of his books that he sends out. And when I read this, I just went, this is us. You know, we're the little luminaries. And if God says we are, then we are. And we need to be that light that continues to shine. And we are.
Well, please post that.
We're the weak, we're the weak and the meek and the whatever. But we have a mighty God, and we have to remember that. We are his light, and we are to stand in the gap. And that's what God's calling people to do.
Well, that's funny you said that, because, Dawn, wasn't that, it's like when she was reading that or saying that, it's almost like time stopped for me. It was just... It was what I needed, Ms. Christina. So thank you. But please do post that. And, somebody else, I mean, Stand in the Gap is what we're calling our conference that we're going to have in January. And somebody else said the same thing, that was what the Lord was saying to her, you know, is that Stand in the Gap. So we're going to call it Stand in the Gap. We're going to have little Stand in the Gap conferences all over our state, because I think what you just said today, Ms. Christina, is confirmation that it's really the title that it needs to have.
We're doing children, isn't it, Diana? Isn't that what Operation Jericho is all about? It's trying to stand in the gap. As Moses stood for the nation of Israel, so must we stand for this nation. It's up to us, the believers, and that's how important it is that the believers wake up.
Oh, indeed. Well, with that in mind, Ms. Christina, I think you're on a roll. So I'm going to ask you Don, do you have some more comments about what she said?
I'm not sure you can actually follow that.
I'm not either.
I wanted to leave us with something that lifted us up. We've talked about enough. Just remember, you may not think that your light is very bright by this world's standards, but when the Lord calls you a luminary, you can agree with him and keep on shining. So let's keep on shining.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Mm.
I'm going to ask you, Ms. Christina, to quote this in prayer. Now, I think I have mentioned something, a quote, and I can't remember where it came from. I don't think the people knew where it even came from, about the slave to the compass is the master of the sea. And I think what it's trying to say is, you know, if you know that compass really well and your compass is pointed true north, which is God, then really you can be the master of the situation, whatever situation, you know, occurs, because we know in the seas, right, all sorts of storms and whatever, you know, comes upon you. So I think, you know, and in this case, somebody made a remark regarding that, saying, you know, this is really what's so troubling about common core, is the moral compass of a nation is going to be changed when you take out the parents, you know, from the picture.
Oh, yeah.
And so really what we're looking at is a change. It's a sea change. But thank God we know where our compass is. We know where it's pointed. So with that in mind, Ms. Christina, you just help remind us. Yes, we can give it to him. After all, he is the Lord of the universe. He is able. So I'm going to just turn it over to you and ask you to close us in prayer.
Okay. Well, Father God, we just come boldly before your throne today, and we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives, in our homes, all that you guide us into, Lord, that for your honor and your glory. But, Lord, as we shared the show today, we know that we covered a lot of heavy material, Lord. But in the end, it all comes back to you. And, Lord, we just pray for our nation today. We pray for the nation, the people, the parents, the pastors. Lord, we just lift them up and ask that the Spirit just begin to move mightily in this nation. Lord, we know that we don't deserve your mercy right now for what we have done. But, Lord, there is a remnant here of those that do love you and honor and adore you. And, Lord, we just ask that you honor what we're putting our hand to try to bring back a God consciousness into this nation and to the parents, that we may save your children, Lord. So, Father God, as we go forth now, we just ask for your guidance, your wisdom, your courage, your discernment, and your confidence, the confidence we have in you, Lord, that you are with us in all things. You walk with us daily. You care about everything that happens, Lord. Lord, you forget nothing. And we just have to remember, Lord, and have complete confidence and faith and trust in you, Lord, that you are in charge and we are your vessels. We are here just to do your will, Lord. And we thank you that what we put our hand to honor and glorify you, does just that. That it is, we are being obedient to you, Lord, to your calling. That we are listening to that Spirit, Lord, that you are speaking to us with. And that, Lord, each thing that we do as we go forth this day, that we come to you in prayer, we give it to you, and Lord, you take it and guide us and lead us into exactly where you want us to go and how you want us to do it. Lord, we are your willing vessels. We are your humble servants. And we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And may we just do a little to honor and glorify you, for we are not near the mighty that you are, Lord. But we love you, and we thank you, and we pray all of this, Lord. We pray for your blessings and protection upon our military and their families. And Lord, we just thank you now as we go forth in this day, that people will wake up, the Spirit will touch people's hearts, and eyes will be open to see and ears will be open to hear. And Lord, as we come forth with our message, it will minister to people. And the veil will be lifted from their eyes, Lord, and they will see the truth. And they will follow and repent and turn back to you. And all of this we pray in your precious and holy name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Dawn, would you mind mentioning your website, the website?
Yes. They can go to www.natcure, so that's natcure.org, and find out about Operation Jericho and all the things that are happening around the country to fight the federal takeover of education.
Mm. Wow. Well, thank you, Don, and thank you, Ms. Christina, our staunch defenders in California for the whole country.
Now remember, everyone, go forward and be the luminary of God.
Oh, what a wonderful charge. Thank you. That was just, isn't that what we exactly needed, Dawn? That was just perfect. So
absolutely.
Well, yeah, we can't add anymore.
We can thank Dr. Stanley for that.
Thank you. Well, listeners, we hope you have enjoyed that. May God bless you. It is so good to be lifted up. We know we live in a troubled world, but there is God. The God who gave his son to die on the cross for our sins loves us so much, and he gave us that word today. So be encouraged. I am. And I think Dawn is too. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.